Our text is from Romans chapter 11, these words, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways." It's Romans 11:33. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, years ago, I enjoyed a show on television which explained how things actually work. No, it wasn't that show currently running, How It's Made, which I must admit is very addictive. Curiosity gets the better of me, and I just have to know how it is. Those tennis balls end up in a pressurized can. Or how pork rinds are made. No, the show I would watch back then, some 25 years ago, would explain things like why a pebble on a road can be picked up by a car tire and be hurled with such force that it can shatter a windshield of another car. Or how a screw actually winds its way into wood. Or why paint actually adheres to what is painted. Well, one of the episodes of that show that sticks out in my mind, which kind of haunts me to this day, was a show about candles, about how candles work. I mean, candles are simple enough. We take a match, we light a candle, it stays lit, providing light and often a pleasing aroma. But how do they actually work? How do they work? I mean, we light the wick, and the wick doesn't burn up. And having lit the wick, the candle, the whole candle, it doesn't burst into flame, although it's flammable. And looking closely at the flame, we can see the wick, and we can see a clear section, and a blue section, and a yellow section. I mean, what's going on there? What's going on? What's with all the colors? Well, as it turns out, the physics behind a simple candle is incredibly complex. So complex, with this theory and that formula, this equation, that thermodynamic law, that halfway through the show, I turned it off because it was getting more and more and more and more complicated with layer after layer of physics and math, and I was just lost. Who would have thought a simple candle was so complex? But it is. It is. And even though it is, I still use candles. I light them, I extinguish them, making sure that the flame is safely away from combustibles, and when extinguished, it's completely extinguished. And that's all I really need to do. That's all I really need to know. All I really can know, apparently, after losing track of that explanation so long ago on that television show. But that's enough. That's enough. That is, I have enough knowledge to use a candle, a simple candle, even though I could not explain to you how that candle actually works. Now, Trinity Sunday each year, the Sunday after Pentecost, during which we hear about the inner workings of the Trinity, the relationship of the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit, presents us with that same challenge as the candle did for me so long ago. I mean, we really would like to know exactly how it is that one God can exist in three persons and yet not be three gods. And how it is that even though God reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he simply is God of one substance. And even more challenging, how is it that this triune God thinks? How is it that he reasons? How is it that God makes decisions and directs and acts? But our text from the book of Romans tells us that the judgments of God are unsearchable. And his ways are a mystery. That's what inscrutable means. And yet, we would search out the judgments of God and solve the mysteries of his ways. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we do in our sin. It's what our old Adam would have us discover. It's what the world would have us do, driven by Satan. For Satan knows that as we try to find the unfindable when it comes to God, and to discover the undiscoverable, or according to our text, if we would try to understand the judgments of God and understand perfectly why God and his inner workings, his inner thoughts, his mind does what he does, yes, the devil knows that if we spend our time doing such a thing, we will do what I did so many years ago watching that show about candles. That is, we'll simply finally turn the thought of God off in our minds. We'll walk away. Forget about it. Why? Because we can't understand him. He's too complex. But as I pointed out so many times, in doing so, we just demonstrate our great hypocrisy. Yes, our great hypocrisy. For the level of understanding of God we demand from God, or we walk, we don't really demand anywhere else in life, do we? We live daily in ignorance, not knowing, not understanding, not even grasping in a simple way everything around us. And we're just fine with that. How many things do we buy, for example, because of all the features that they have? And then we end up only using one or two of those features because the rest of them we don't understand. Computers, cell phones, right? How many people do we interact with, have conversations with, work together with, people we really don't know at all? How many news stories do we watch on television? How many blogs do we read? How many books, yes, books, do we read that create the impression that we now, having spent a few moments of time, comprehend the length, the breadth, the height in its entirety of something like the Hundred Years' War or the 30 Years' War, or even World War I? Yes, a little bit of time, and we know everything. Yet such events are studied by scholars for a lifetime, and the result is a few new insights, some clarity, a bit more knowledge, but not an all-encompassing grasp of the reality of those events. We live daily making decisions on the basis of knowledge, which often is deep, but frequently it's shallow. Not even knowing sometimes the basis for our own action. Why we really did something. Why we really said something. Why we really thought something. So let's repent. Repent of our hypocrisy when it comes to God, demanding from him a full accounting of his thoughts, his action, his substance and essence. That is, let's repent of standing in judgment of God in our ignorance. Instead of rejoicing that we do indeed know enough, we know enough about God, being given such knowledge through his holy word, so much information, in fact, that we can study it for a lifetime and never exhaust its insights, its revelation, its data, as we say today, about God. But even then, we have something more simple than Scripture that demonstrates everything we need to know about the Holy Trinity, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is our candle here. He's our candle. He's our light which in its simplicity provides us with all that we need to see all that around us as we should see it. And yet when push comes to shove, an explanation of our light, Jesus, can be so complex, can't it? How God can become man, but not the Father, not the Holy Spirit, but only the Son. How the Son can be in the womb of Mary, taking on human flesh and be born. How God and Christ can grow and learn and mature and live just like us in this world but without sin. How God and Christ can even die in this world, suffering and dying for us as a sacrifice, pleasing to the Father for our sin. Our hypocrisy that cries out, show us the Father. That is, let us see the inner workings of God, the lights, the glory. Let us hear the explanation as to why this person dies and that person lives. Let us know why evil continues within the world and sin and death. Explain, tell, justify yourself to us, God. Yes, it's for this line of thought for which the Son of God offered himself as a sacrifice for us, so that such thinking on our part, such speaking and doing can be and is forgiven. And what is more, the Spirit is sent into our hearts by the same word that pronounces our forgiveness, so that we can then be at peace. We can be content. We can be patient and kind and good, even though we don't understand everything that's going on around us. Let's face it, we don't understand the world. We don't understand our neighbors. And half the time, we don't even understand ourselves. But oddly enough, it's just that virtue, the virtue of humility, that admits that. Admitting all of that we do not know. Yes, oddly enough, it's the virtue of humility that was lauded this past week in an article online as the greatest of all virtues. In that article, it was asserted that the greatest of all thinkers in the history of the world had this in common. And that is that as they pursued knowledge, the awareness of what they did not know grew exponentially. In other words, the more they knew, the more they realized they didn't know. And yet they continued to pursue knowledge in humility. When it comes to the Holy Trinity, we simply do not know. And the more we live daily in Christ, in the peace that is our life of Christ, living daily with the assurance of our sins forgiven, yes, the more we live daily pursuing our life in Christ to know more about it, the more we learn we don't know about it. We don't know about the Holy Trinity. But in humility, we can say confidently, that's okay. It's okay. What we need to know, we've been taught, have learned, has been proclaimed to us, and in faith, we have embraced it. And more knowledge about Christ, about our Lord and Savior and our life in Him, we pursue daily. And in that pursuit, we discover that just as we, in learning about our Savior, we also learn that what we don't know about Him and His inner working with the Father and the Spirit, maybe the same goes for our neighbor. That is, the more we learn about our neighbor, the more we learn we don't know about our neighbor. And yet, that being the case, we don't stop learning and give up, thinking if we can't instantly understand our neighbor, we should stop trying and stop loving him and stop serving him. No. We can, in humility, simply admit that this is so, and daily in Christ continue to learn to serve our neighbor, even in our ignorance, our lack of knowledge. That flows from our love that is a result of the faith within us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.